Welcome to the Lay of the Land podcast with Dane Kennedy.
I feel like I'm talking to myself over here.
Stel Panayiotis.
Is your watch the Strava?
And Steve O'Callaghan.
Can I make some valid points here? All right, this is what happened.
It's the Lay of the Land, episode 45. Anthony Franchina. I was thinking it was Ed Curno before Stel, but it's actually Anthony Franchina, who used to play for Carlton, a legend. Now, before we start tonight, I have a message here from Georgia, and she says that, just want to reiterate that I'd Lie, the song that Steve is not familiar with, is only available on YouTube and not released on any albums, but with the re-recording of Fearless, Taylor is releasing a few extra tracks from her secret vault. All the big Swiftie fans, like me, are rooting for I'd Lie to be released as a vault track on the new Fearless. What have you got to say about that?
And just for the listeners, Georgia being Stel's sister.
Yeah, that's all fine. That's all above board. Did we say that the songs had to be off the albums?
No, I just, yeah, just so assumed all good. It was...
Unless have you got an issue, Steve? I think Steve's a bit of a self-proclaimed Taylor Swift aficionado / toucher in the concerts, where you'll be dirty that you didn't know those songs.
No, I know the first one. I wasn't sure what album it was from, but the second one I had no idea. And I did actually do a bit of my own research and found out that it was, unreleased. So
did you listen to them?
No, I didn't. they're not official songs, so
I can sometimes when my text messages to you guys just fall on deaf eyes, blind eyes.
I was in Coles this morning and Taylor was on actually the Coles radio, and it was We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. I like that one. I kind of forgotten that, but she's got a lot of bangers.
Coles radio has a lot of bangers.
Coles radio, they play songs like Crush by Jennifer Page. Oh, do you remember that song?
Yes.
Just a Little Crush?
Yeah, it's a good song.
Can you access Coles radio from outside Coles? Is it actually a station?
It's on DAB.
Yeah.
What's the frequency to tune in to for those that want to listen to some Coles radio when it's they're digital. Maybe doing some gardening?
It's digital, so you just change it. Yeah. Plug it along.
Gotcha. I'm a bit behind the times here, boys.
Danos, how are you today? I can see you're repping the Remedy kombucha today. What do you got there? What flavour?
Yeah, you got the apple crisp. It is a favourite. That's the one we were drinking the other night. I'm really onto these now, but I must say I prefer the kombucha out of a can as opposed to a bottle. And I find the 250ml can is a perfect amount. The 330ml bottles are a bit too much for me, and it tastes better out of a can.
We love the tinnies of Remedy kombucha. And, yeah, shout out to the Remedy. We're still paying for these out of our own pocket, but if they want to send over a case, we'll happily take them and give them a plug.
On sale at the moment for $6 for a four-pack at Coles. And you can listen to Coles radio while you're getting them.
That's great. Boys, we did Taylor Swift yesterday. Ed Sheeran today. What are your favourite Ed Sheeran songs? We've all been to his concert, so that's a plus. Stel, what's your favourite Ed Sheeran song? Top three.
Just off the top, I found this harder to do than Taylor Swift, and I'll give you...
I was just going to say, before you go on there, was that a pun, Steve? That's a plus? Because is that one of the names of his albums?
No, it wasn't, but I'll claim it.
Because I think I'm a bit divided on what my favourite songs are.
Hopefully with content like this, our viewers, our listeners will multiply. Moving on. So my top three are A Fire Love, Castle on the Hill.
That's a good one.
Classic.
And I'm a Mess.
Can you give us a bit of a backstory about what A Fire Love is about?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure he wrote it about his late grandfather who had Alzheimer's. And a bit of a fun fact. When he was in accepting an award for it, he had the old Gucci suit on because he can, and he was also rocking his grandfather's tie when he accepted the award. I thought that was a nice touch, but that's one that really gets me in the feels. Castle on the Hill gets me in the feels from more like a nostalgic, different phases of life type song. It makes me think about primary school, high school, the good times we've had together and just different phases. And then I'm a mess, for me, is more of a personal one. I think when he wrote that,
we'll have a everything... daily occurrence.
Well, when he wrote that one, I think he was, everything had sort of come to a head in his life. And, I've experienced that a couple of times. And I think I'm a Mess is just a great track that really captures that emotion. So they're mine. Who wants to go next?
I like the breakdown you've given there, Stel. It really explains why you've chosen them. So that's great. Steve, we'll cross over to you.
No, you go first, because then I've got after you, I've got some listener responses.
Okay,
I've got some too. Well, I've got some
Steve,
too.
Just a quick question. Did you know those songs by Ed Sheeran?
I did. Okay,
that's good.
Yeah. Classics. I'm not, to be honest, it's interesting because I think we've all got different tastes on this one. So, you go for you, Dane.
Okay, my top three. First one is Tenerife Sea.
Yep.
I love that one. That's a classic. I also like New York.
Oh, wow.
They're both off the Multiply album. Yeah. And I also like, what was my third one? Oh, Hearts Don't Break Around Here from Divide.
Nice. Real deep.
But, yeah, he's got so many. But he's I like so the deep, deep. The deep and emotional ones. Some real classics. And yeah, big Ed Sheeran fan. The concert we went to at Rod Laver. Was it Rod Laver, I think?
Yeah.
That was great. That was really good. And just what an amazing artist to create such a massive sound for one guy and a guitar and a pedal. Like, it filled the whole stadium and the light show was epic. So if you haven't gone and seen Ed Sheeran before, definitely when he comes out to Australia next time, out and see him.
2028.
Because it's a treat.
I've got three different kind of ones. I think you guys have both definitely gone for the deep and meaningful ones. Real pulls at the heartstrings. I've gone for Nancy Mulligan, just a classic Irish beat.
Yeah.
Sing. I love Sing. It's just got a great beat to it.
Good film clip as well with the puppets. Yes,
the puppets.
The puppets, yes.
Does it?
And Galway Girl is my other one.
Keeping with the Irish vibe.
Yeah, I love that. He does it very well. And a special mention to Drunk, because I feel that a lot of times.
Nah, they're good.
They're Galway all good ones as well.
And Nancy Mulligan made my short list as well, but not the top three. He's got such a scope of songs. And also, between his studio versions and the acoustic versions, I think he can just give a totally different spin to a song. I don't know. Have you guys heard the I Don't Care acoustic version?
Yes.
Oh,
the one that he does with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, but he does the
He does it by himself, one. But yeah, that song, that is great. Ed Sheeran has written a lot of popular songs that other artists have recorded. He's written a lot for One Direction, a few for Justin Bieber, and I know he's written for a lot of female artists as well. He's quite... lyric aficionado.
Steve, can you share with us some of the listener suggestions?
Yeah, so I've got, I wasn't sure if this person had written just I Don't Care about Sheeran or if that was a song, but Steph's written I Don't Care, Shape of You, I See Fire and Photograph, but she's also mentioned all the songs he sang in his concert. So I'm assuming she enjoyed the concert, but we've also got Christy who reckons Kiss Me is a good song. And I don't think
singing that in the past week. I like that song.
Is it a goodie?
Yeah. I sang it at a wedding. It was the Walk Down the Aisle song.
Oh, wow. Nice.
It definitely pulls at the heartstrings.
That's great.
One that both of my sisters suggested that I don't think has come up has been Photograph. Is a good one too. And Happier.
Happier is a good one.
See, this is what I mean. It's
Can you pick a favorite? Can you pick a favorite album?
Why don't you start us off?
Mine is Divide.
All right.
Divide.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. I get them confused. The green one, Multiply. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. I got the blue one. I'm the blue guy.
What's the blue one? Is that Addition?
Addition plus.
Plus. I'm not sure which one is my favourite, but I think something about Ed Sheeran that we've obviously touched on already is that he gets you in the feels and he gets a lot of people in the feels. And something else which gets people in the feels, for better or worse, is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, boys.
Yes. Thanks, mate. You too. I'm sure you guys have been out treating your lovely partners to a nice romantic lunch or maybe a dinner tonight, getting some flowers from the florist and nah.
Steve's quite the Casanova, so why don't you kick us off with what you've had organised?
We don't do Valentine's Day.
You do biathlons.
Instead? No, I didn't do anything this year. Usually I do get a bunch of flowers. Just for keepsake, but keepsake? That's not the right word.
What's your take on it, Steve? What's your take? So are you in the gimmick camp or do you see its value?
Well, it was created by Hallmark, so...
It feels like you're leaning towards gimmick here.
Wait, Valentine's Day was created by Hallmark?
Yeah, well, I'm just making that
by
up.
By the card company?
Yeah. They needed to get rid of some more cards, so they just created a holiday for it.
I think it goes back a bit further than that, Steve. But anyway,
what's your take?
So Steve's in the gimmick. He's in the gimmick camp.
Yeah, I'm in the gimmick.
Gimmick or value?
Probably more of a gimmick myself. It's a great. It's a great, obviously, celebration of the love that people have between, you know, in relationships. And but if you're just waiting for that one day to express your love, I think it's a bit of a gimmick. You know, a lot of people make a point of not celebrating Valentine's Day because they express their love throughout the year. So, but I think it's a nice gesture and it does encourage people to maybe buy flowers for their partner or some chocolates and a card, which they would not normally do. So, yeah, I'm all for it, but probably a bit of in the gimmick camp.
You sound like you're self-sell. Sitting on a fence there.
Oh, no, I don't really have any strong feelings about it.
Neutral.
How about yourself, mate?
I reached out to the people. I've got 3 male and 3 female perspectives. And interestingly enough, a bit of a pattern arose from the females. All were quite happy to tell me it was a gimmick, followed by... wait... So here's female one, gimmick, but love to celebrate. Nice to get a gift from your partner. Female two, gimmick, but still want flowers. Female three, no gimmick word used for this one, but I'm a fan. Love people showing love and love big grand gestures. And the males were a little bit more on the pure gimmick side of things. Ben Morrison, massive gimmick. St. Valentine's was a florist.
I think I got to agree with you there.
Nicholas Freeman, gimmick, hate it. What are birthdays for and anniversaries? Same shit, different smell. And David, also known as SM affectionately.
In-house.
David says, I've never had a V-Day, so you'd have to say gimmick.
What does SM stand for?
We'll leave that in-house.
We'll leave
Steve.
That for a private chat.
Is the first word sex?
We'll leave it in-house, Steve.
Okay.
But look, I'm with Dane on this one, I reckon. It is a little bit gimmicky. But I think it's a nice opportunity to do something a little bit corny and special and let someone special know that they're loved.
I think what the important thing is, if you've got to make sure that if you're buying for your partner, that if she's at a workplace that everyone gets Valentine's Day gifts, that you make sure you participate in it. Because you don't want to be the only dickhead boyfriend that hasn't sent flowers to her workplace when everyone else gets flowers.
Hang on. So you're saying...
But Steve, you don't celebrate it, so...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But the optics are important to him, Dane. That's how he looks to others.
It's all about what the perception of what I'm going to get.
So you're your own... You're a real individual, your own man, aren't you, Steve?
No, I wouldn't say that.
I know that song. I wouldn't say that.
Absolutely, you wouldn't say that.
Just right. So you're the crowd.
So if Bridget said, look, these few girls, their partners have said that they're sending them flowers to the workplace on Valentine's, you're on the phone organising some flowers.
Yes.
Real yes man.
Yep.
The optics. Nah, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
There's obviously, Sal, there's different ways to look at this. There's different ways to view life. And there's different, like, life mantras that we can live by as well. So that was, you were and I were talking about this during the week, about different ways to look at things. Do you want to give us a bit of a background about what we're going to discuss here?
I can't remember the exact episode, but we've spoken about introverts and extroverts on this show, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that because when we were having that chat, we were talking about that we are a little bit introverted and a little bit extroverted. But I was thinking about how people can classify themselves, and which led me to think that even introverts can be extroverts in the right environment. So my example is, you've got someone who is quite quiet. It could be a student or a colleague. But even that person, when they feel safe, like, for example, when they go home, maybe with a sibling or with their parent, they can be extroverts in that environment and, like, talk and be much more open. So it just got me thinking about, flipping it a little bit and thinking about whether how safe people feel to be extroverted in certain spaces. What do you guys reckon about that?
This has taken a total different direction to what I thought you were going to take. But I think the whole introvert extrovert thing, I don't think you can label yourself as one or the other in reflection, because like that example you just gave, you can act one way in one environment and act a totally different way in another environment. So I think it's just about being who you are. Like, I think we, in society, we give ourselves too many labels.
Mm.
And then we live up to those labels. You know, I'll use diet for a example. I'm a vegetarian. Okay. But then that becomes part of your identity. I'm a vegetarian. Instead of just, you're just someone that just eats mainly vegetarian, or you don't eat animal products. So I think we can give ourselves labels, which then really shuts us off from certain experiences. If we label ourselves as an introvert, people start treating us as an introvert, whether that's consciously or unconsciously. So that's a bit of my take on that. What do you reckon, Steve?
Well, I think that, I don't know, I feel like you can, but you could also change, like if you want to go to your workplace, for example, and go, today, I'm usually an introvert, but I want to be a bit more out there today. I'm going to try and be more extroverted. You can definitely, as you said, have a bit of both, but yeah, I feel like you can actually change who you want to be. Like, and also in Atomic Habits, he talks about that I've given you guys. He talks about
shameless plug.
Oh, jeez. Great book.
Optics, positive optics on that.
I don't think it was, I wasn't talking about the book there, Steve. Like, shameless plug that, you know, that you gifted that to us.
Oh, yeah. but
we appreciate it. It's a great book.
He talks about, like, if, let's just say, I was doing a triathlon, right? If you start saying, I'm a triathlete to people, you sort of almost put in a mindset that you have to be perceived as a triathlete. So yeah, I think it's how you kind of perceive yourself as well.
Yeah, definitely. You're adopting that identity.
Mm.
I really like that in the book. It's like, you're not someone who reads, you are a reader.
Yeah.
Or you're not just someone that goes and exercises, you are an athlete. And by telling yourself that, that does change your identity. And it's really up to us what our identity is and who we are. We, you know, too often we let the outside world dictate who we are. But, you know, I think this is about changing your identity at the core, and don't worry about what people perceive you as, because soon enough they'll perceive you as the type of person that you want to be.
So, Stel, when you said that this was going to be quotes that contradict themselves, I've got a quote that can contradict itself. It's always the last place you look.
Oh, wait, Steve. So when you've looked for your car keys before and you've lost your car keys and you've looked for your car keys before.
Yeah.
Once you've actually found the car keys, you've never gone and looked somewhere else for your car keys?
No.
Oh, that's funny.
Because it's always the last place you look. People always say that. Ah, it's always the last place you look. Well, fucking of course it is. I'm not going to look any further.
Or what about this one? This one gets me. Well, you had the right idea. Well, of course I had the right idea. You know, it didn't pan out, but I had the right idea. Well, maybe you didn't have the right idea. Otherwise, you would have done it properly.
Oh, God.
Very good.
I thought we've got some quotes that contradict themselves. Or are you talking about two separate quotes that totally contradict each other?
No, I think you guys have got the drift very well. I like your ones. They're good. They're
very
good.
Silly.
What are you bringing to the table?
Well, the initial one, introverts and extroverts one. But if it was more just a different way of thinking about quotes. Like you hear people say, like the one I mentioned to you earlier today, like, you know, you should live every moment like it's your last. And then you hear people say, well, have a good long think about it. And it's like,
yeah.
They're sort of one implies that we should be really spontaneous and the other implies that we should take a really measured approach. And I think it's just sometimes I can get caught in the trap of living by a mantra when I think sometimes it can be a bit more valuable to just be aware of a breadth of different mantras and apply them to an appropriate situation for what you think at the time.
Mm.
Like rather than pigeonholing yourself like you were talking about earlier, Dane.
I think that second one you said about assess all your options and taking a measured approach, something along those lines, that can lead into procrastination.
Overthinking.
Overthinking, which I've been caught in the past and still do. I think I posted a video on my coaching Facebook page earlier today about procrastination and how to move on from procrastination. And the quote which we've spoken about before is that 70% perfection is success, 100% perfection is failure. Because we can always analyze something more. We can always have more thinking about something. We can always do more research. But at the end of the day, until you actually take action, nothing's going to get done. So once you've taken action, then you can assess that and go, well, did that work? Didn't that work? And then adjust to that. I think it's just different philosophies, you know. These different mantras come out of different philosophies, religions, belief systems. You have to find what resonates with you, what feels right. What does your gut tell you?
Like you could spend a week, you could spend 7 days trying to figure out what the best gym session for 1 hour is and spend 7 days reading all the books, going through all the articles, reading all the journals, and then on the seventh day or the eighth day, go and execute what you think is the perfect one. So that if that's situation one and then situation is two is you spend a bit less time doing all the research and decision making and you actually just go in 7 days for 10 minutes and try a whole bunch of different stuff, you're sort of going to get to that eighth day with a bit more valuable information about, oh, I enjoyed this, I didn't enjoy that. You know, so I think, yeah, you make a really good point there, Dan.
That's spot on. There's an example in Atomic Habits. Do you remember that one, Steve? It's similar to what Stel just said about the photography.
No, which one was that?
His face is saying he doesn't remember.
There was two groups of students at a university asked to produce photos for an assignment, and one group was asked. They were going to be scored based on how many photos they took, and the other group was going to be scored based on the quality of just one photo.
Yeah.
So one group just went out and just kept taking photos, trying different lighting angles, systems of taking a photo, while the other group kind of just procrastinated and tried to work out how they could take the perfect photo. And what they found was that the group that took hundreds of different photos, they produced the best photos. Because they were just out there doing it and they weren't overthinking it. And the group that was overthinking and spent all this time trying to get the perfect photo they were kind of, it was a bit of analysis, paralysis by analysis, just, you know, they ended up producing really average photos because they didn't experience it. They weren't trying different things.
Yeah. And that's how you learn. That's how you try things. That's how you get better at things, by doing it differently. And there's heaps of things I want to try differently to get better at. And I think that's a really good point he makes in that book. It's, yeah, I love it.
The triathlon, how did the triathlon go today, Steve?
My duathlon? Yeah, triathlon was cancelled, so I just did a little bike ride this morning and a bit of a run, and it was fun. Just tried to push my hardest, but can't wait for 2 weeks' time, and yeah.
Was it cold in the Budgie Smugglers going around Wandon?
It was, actually. I did it in my jammers, so my swimming shorts.
seeing as we're speaking about habits, probably going to wrap up here at the moment, but we've all read Atomic Habits or in the process of reading it. Maybe we could come on tomorrow and talk about maybe a couple of habits that we want to implement this year. You know, yep. Atomic habits, atomic meaning small. And I think that'd be a good discussion, because 2021, a year to maybe implement some healthy lifestyle habits that are going to help us move forward.
Yeah. Okay. And sounds if any listeners out there want to send through some habits that they're working on or habits that they're trying to reduce, send them through to what's the address, Steve?
Yeah, Lay of the Land Pod on Insta. And thanks for all the responses for Ed Sheeran.
And Ben will work on getting you some merch as well. Just speaking on merch, I think waiting on some from Sustain Plumbing.
I thought you were going to say we'll get you some merch from the florist that he doesn't believe in, that's trying to make money off Valentine's Day.
All right, boys, we'll enjoy your Sunday night. Don't go too hard on the drinks. And we'll see you tomorrow at 5 for 5.